Ready for another deep dive? Today, we're tackling a question that has puzzled scholars for centuries. Who wrote the Book of Deuteronomy?
Ooh, that's a big one.
It is. And we've got some fascinating source material to work with, lecture notes, from a seminary course all about Deuteronomy.
Seminary notes. Sounds pretty intense.
They are. And you wouldn't believe some of the theories about Deuteronomy's authorship.
So we're not just talking about like, oh yeah, Moses wrote it and that's it.
Nope, not even close.
Yeah.
But we should probably start with that traditional view, right? Just to set the stage.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a lot of people learn, right? Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And traditionally, it's attributed to Moses.
Moses up on the mountaintop, getting the law directly from God. Powerful image.
It is. But then, in the 19th century, things started to change. Scholars began applying what's called historical criticism to the Bible.
Historical criticism. Sounds like they were getting a little skeptical.
Well, they were looking at the text with a more critical eye, you know, comparing it to other ancient writings, historical records, that kind of thing, trying to understand it in its historical context.
So less about taking everything at face value and more about digging deeper.
Exactly. And this led to some pretty groundbreaking theories about Deuteronomy.
Like what? Spill the tea.
Well, one of the most influential figures was Julius Wellhausen. He developed something called the documentary hypothesis.
Documentary hypothesis, huh? That sounds complicated.
It is, a bit. But basically, it argues that the Pentateuch, including Deuteronomy, wasn't written by a single author.
Wait, so not Moses? Then who?
Wellhausen believed it was a composite work, you know, put together from multiple sources, written by different people at different times.
Okay, I'm starting to see why this is such a puzzle. What led him to that conclusion?
He noticed inconsistencies, you see, in the writing styles, vocabulary, even the theological perspectives throughout the Pentateuch.
Ah, so like different voices popping up in the text.
Yeah, exactly. He saw these inconsistencies as evidence of multiple authors.
And what did that mean for Deuteronomy specifically?
Wellhausen thought it was written much later than the time of Moses. He put it around 621 BC.
Wow, that's a huge difference, like centuries later.
Right. And he connected it to the reign of King Josiah. He thought maybe Deuteronomy was written to support the religious reforms happening at that time.
So maybe a political move even?
Possibly. But Wellhausen wasn't the only one with a theory. His work kind of opened the floodgates, and all these other scholars jumped into the debate, offering their own interpretations and proposed dates for Deuteronomy.
Sounds like things were getting pretty heated in the world of biblical scholarship.
They were. And some scholars tried to move the date of Deuteronomy back closer to the time of Moses, while others were convinced it was much later.
So a real back and forth.
Oh, yeah. For example, you had a scholar named Tennant who argued for a date around 500 BC.
Okay, so still later than Moses, but not as late as Wellhausen's theory.
Right. And his reasoning was pretty interesting. He pointed to Deuteronomy 17, which talks about rules for a future king.
Interesting. So why would there be rules for a king if it was written before Israel even had kings?
Exactly. Tennant thought it implied that Deuteronomy must have been written after the time of the monarchy.
It's like a detective story, looking for clues in the text itself.
It is. And then you've got Holscher, another scholar. He also proposed a date around 500 BC, but for a different reason.
What was his take?
He focused on Deuteronomy's emphasis on a central sanctuary, like one single place of worship.
Okay. And?
Well, Holscher thought that just wouldn't have been practical in earlier times before the Babylonian exile.
I can see that. A central sanctuary would be tough if everyone's scattered all over the place.
Right. And so he figured Deuteronomy must reflect the realities of a community that had gone through exile and was trying to reestablish their religious identity.
So each scholar is bringing their own perspective, their own way of reading the historical clues. Fascinating.
It is. And these are just a few of the early players in this debate. We've got a lot more to uncover.
Can't wait to hear what else these scholars dug up. Back again with our deep dive into Deuteronomy. Last time we left off with some pretty wild theories about when it was written right.
Yeah, we were looking at those scholars who challenged the traditional view of Moses being the author.
Right, like Wellhausen and his documentary hypothesis, and then Tennant and Holscher, both putting it around 500 BC, but for completely different reasons.
Yeah, it's amazing how they each found their own clues, you know, like pieces of a puzzle.
It is. But the debate didn't end there, did it?
Oh, no, not even close. There were plenty of other scholars who had their own ideas about when Deuteronomy might have been written. Some even tried to move the date a bit closer to the time of Moses.
So not all the way back, but at least not as late as the 6th century BC.
Exactly. For example, there were guys like Ewald, Westphal, and Ostricher. They saw some possible connections between Deuteronomy and the reigns of a couple of kings, Hezekiah and Manasseh.
Kings Hezekiah and Manasseh. When were they around?
They reigned somewhere between the 9th and 7th centuries BC.
Ah, okay, so a couple of centuries earlier than Wellhausen's theory.
Right, and these scholars pointed to potential links between Deuteronomy and some of the religious reforms that happened during those kings' reigns.
So instead of seeing Deuteronomy as like a response to the exile, they're connecting it to earlier periods of religious and political upheaval.
Exactly. And Ostricher, he had a particularly interesting take on this whole thing. He kind of challenged a key assumption that Wellhausen and some others had made about Deuteronomy.
Oh, what assumption was that?
Remember Holscher's argument about the central sanctuary? Like, it wouldn't have been practical in earlier times.
Right, right, before the exile.
Well, Ostricher argued that maybe Deuteronomy wasn't actually demanding a centralized cult after all.
Wait, really? So if it's not about centralizing worship, what is it about?
Well, Ostricher thought it was more about the purity of worship rather than the location. He talked about this distinction between cult Reinheit, meaning cultic purity, and cult Einheit, meaning cultic unity.
So more about how you worship than where you worship.
Exactly. Ostricher believed that Deuteronomy was primarily concerned with making sure worship was done according to proper rituals and beliefs. It didn't necessarily have to happen in one specific spot.
That's a cool nuance.
Sorry.
It really changes how you think about the whole thing.
Right. And it also kind of changes how we understand those reforms initiated by King Josiah. You know, the ones often linked to the so-called discovery of Deuteronomy. Ostricher suggested those reforms might have already been going on before the book supposedly popped up.
Interesting. So maybe Deuteronomy wasn't the cause of the reforms, but more like a reflection of ideas that were already floating around.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. It shows how messy and complicated the relationship between texts and historical events can be.
It's not always a straight line, that's for sure. But hey, speaking of different perspectives, we've been focusing a lot on those scholars who challenged the traditional view. But weren't there some who stuck with the idea of Moses being the author?
Oh, absolutely. Even with all this new historical criticism, there were still scholars who defended the traditional view of Mosaic authorship.
So a real tug of war between the old and the new.
You could say that. They argued that, you know, just because a text might have been written down later doesn't mean the ideas it contains aren't ancient.
So like oral tradition, those stories and laws being passed down through generations before someone finally wrote them down.
Exactly. And they pointed to specific parts of the text that they believed reflected the time of Moses and the Exodus.
It's amazing how the same text can be read in such different ways.
It is, and it shows that this whole question of authorship isn't just about historical trivia. It's about how we understand the Bible itself. Is it a divinely inspired text with a single voice? Or is it a collection of human voices reflecting different times and perspectives?
Deep stuff. And it sounds like there's no easy answer.
Nope, not at all. It's an ongoing conversation, a debate that continues to shape how we understand the Bible. But you know what? Amidst all this talk about who wrote Deuteronomy, we haven't even touched on the book itself.
True. What about the content, the structure? Is it even a unified work? I remember you mentioned some scholars questioned that.
Oh, yeah. That's another fascinating piece of this puzzle. While von Rad saw this really clear four-part structure in Deuteronomy, other scholars noticed parts that didn't quite fit.
Really? Like what?
Well, for one thing, there are two introductions in Deuteronomy. Chapters 1 through 4 and 5:11, they both seem to function as introductions.
Two introductions. That's weird. It's like a book with two beginnings. How do scholars explain that?
Well, some think it might mean that the book was compiled from separate sources or that it went through some major editing over time.
Like someone decided to stitch two different texts together.
Possibly. One scholar, G. Ernest Wright, he built on Martin Noth's work and came up with a pretty interesting explanation.
Oh, what's that?
They suggested that maybe Deuteronomy wasn't actually meant to be a standalone book at all.
Wait, so it's not its own thing?
They thought it might be the introduction to a much larger historical work, like a whole series of books spanning from Joshua to 2 Kings.
Whoa, that's a bold claim. So Deuteronomy is just the first chapter of a massive historical epic.
Exactly. And if you think about it that way, the two introductions make more sense. You know, chapters 1 to 4 set the stage for this whole grand narrative of Israel's history. And then chapters 5:11 zoom in on the specific laws and teachings that are central to Deuteronomy itself.
I see, like setting the scene and then getting into the details. But if that's the case, does it change how we interpret Deuteronomy? Like, does it affect its meaning or purpose? Back again for the final part of our Deuteronomy deep dive. Man, we've covered a lot of ground, haven't we?
We have, from Moses on the mountaintop to multiple authors' late dating theories, and even the idea that Deuteronomy might just be the opening act of a much bigger story.
It's mind-blowing how one question about authorship can lead to so many different rabbit holes.
It really shows how dynamic and complex the Bible is, doesn't it? It's not just this, like, static, unchanging book.
Yeah, it's a collection of texts shaped by history, by different communities wrestling with their faith, trying to make sense of the world.
And those different voices, those different perspectives, that's what makes it so fascinating, I think.
Totally. So as we wrap things up here, what are some of the big takeaways from all this? I mean, we've encountered so many different theories about Deuteronomy. Where do we even land?
Well, I think one of the most important things is that the Bible isn't this, like, monolithic entity that just fell out of the sky, you know?
Right. It evolved over time. It reflects the experiences and the ideas of the people who wrote it, compiled it, passed it down.
Exactly. And that evolution, that's part of what makes it so powerful. It's a testament to the ongoing human struggle to understand, well, everything. The divine, the world around us, our own lives.
That's a beautiful way to put it. It's not just a book of rules or a historical record. It's like a living conversation about faith.
Exactly. It's about engaging with those big questions, wrestling with different ideas.
And I think that brings us back to the question of Deuteronomy's authorship. It's less about finding the one right answer and more about understanding that there are multiple perspectives, multiple ways of reading the text.
Right. Whether you lean towards the traditional view or a later date, the book itself is still incredibly powerful.
Absolutely. I mean, its ideas have influenced everything from religious beliefs to legal systems to ethical codes.
For centuries. And even if we don't know for sure who wrote every single word or when it was all put together, those ideas still resonate with people today.
They do. But I'm curious, how does the question of authorship, you know, all these different theories, how does that actually impact how we read and understand the Bible?
Well, if you stick with the traditional view, the idea of Moses as the sole author, it kind of reinforces this idea of the Bible as a direct revelation from God.
A single voice speaking with divine authority.
Right. But if you accept the possibility of multiple authors, editors, compilers, it suggests a more human element to the process.
Like it was shaped by different people, different communities over time.
Exactly. And that opens up a whole new way of understanding the text. It allows us to see it as a product of its historical context, you know, shaped by the concerns and beliefs of the people who created it.
So instead of a static document, it's a dynamic, evolving reflection of human experience.
And that can be really liberating. It frees us from the need to find the one right answer and encourages us to be more open-minded, to ask questions, to explore those different perspectives.
To see the richness and the diversity of the biblical tradition.
Absolutely. And to remember that the Bible isn't just a book to be studied. It's a conversation to be joined.
Wow, I love that. A conversation that's been going on for centuries.
And that continues to this day.
This deep dive has been quite the journey. We started with a simple question. Who wrote Deuteronomy? And ended up exploring the very nature of the Bible itself.
It just shows the power of curiosity, doesn't it? And how digging deeper can lead to some truly mind-expanding discoveries.
It really does. So to all our listeners out there, if this conversation has sparked your own curiosity, keep exploring. Keep asking questions.
You might even come up with your own theory about who wrote Deuteronomy.
And hey, if you do, let us know. Until next time, happy exploring.